All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
What's up?
Listen, Penn, I have some great podcast news for you.
Great, great.
Out in the world. I have two things, two Penn Cinema podcast run-ins. So first thing, I'm at the Rye Guy's birthday party yesterday, right?
Sure.
And he's like, him and my boy Mitch, they're describing the podcast. They listen. Right. Or as Mitch says, I download it and get to it eventually.
But, me too.
Yeah. But the Rye Guy listens on the rec. And he's like, oh, yeah, it's actually really good. But, you know, they start the show and they introduce themselves and then they just start laughing. And you're not really sure what it is that they're laughing at. And he's like, sometime I'm like, wait a minute, did I miss something? What's so funny?
Did you tell them why we're always laughing at the beginning?
Yeah, I was like, usually we're doing funny faces or something.
Well, I think it's time we can let the audience in on like the real deal.
Oh.
So like while we're doing the show, see, regular people would just do a podcast. But what me and David do, because we're so talented and multitasking, we are while recording the podcast, we are writing jokes to each other and holding them up for the camera.
Yeah, so unrelated to the show,
right? Oh. Totally unrelated to the show, talking about one thing and holding up handwritten jokes.
That's 100%.
Totally true.
Yeah.
Take that to the bank.
And the other thing was, I was eating dinner with Don DeMon. Don, the good Don, right? And he leans over to me and he's like, you know, you've heard of like Joe Rogan and like Rush Limbaugh and like,
Those big
radio podcaster guys. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know how big they are? I was like, yeah. He's like, I don't know if you've heard of the Penn Cinema podcast, but I've been quoted on there multiple times. And he looked me dead in the eyes. He said, so watch what you say, because it might wind up on the show.
He said that to you.
Yeah.
That's words to live by.
I know, right?
My friend.
Yeah.
Words like, to live by.
I didn't realize I was around a celeb, you know?
Whoa.
Cool your jets.
Whoa. <Yeah. laughs> All right. Well, listen, David, I just want to, you know, we have a big holiday weekend.
Yeah.
So I want to be the first, or maybe I should, because we're recording this after the holiday. Hmm. So maybe I'll just be the last to wish you, you know, happy 4th of July.
You beat me to it.
I was waiting all weekend.
Happy 4th of July.
I was saving that up all weekend.
I don't know how you didn't text that to me or anything. So good. I did stick that into the notes. I don't know if you noticed or not.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
We'll see when we get there. Happy 4th.
Yeah. All right. Now, on a more somber note.
Yeah.
Richard Donner.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Great.
You know, I think you know this, but we literally, just moments before his passing, played Goonies at all the Penn Cinema locations.
Right.
Yeah, we had it at the drive-in. We had indoor shows in Lititz and Huntington Valley, and had a good time. And, you know, it's a testament to his legacy that, you know, we're still playing a movie like this some, you know, 40 years later or whatever. Yeah. And not only are we playing it, but, you know, families are coming out, people are coming out, they're wanting to, you know, show their, introduce it to their kids and share it with their families. So, you know, this is Richard Donner's, I think for those of you who might not know, famous director. He did Goonies. He did the Lethal. Did he do all the Lethal Weapons?
I think the first two.
Yeah. No? So he did the good Lethal. He did the good Lethal Weapons.
Yeah. Well, imagine and, if you showed one of his good movies, how many people would come out?
Wait, shots fired. I didn't even see that coming.
He did Lethal Weapon 4 and 3 and 2. I guess he did them all.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. So he did the good Lethal Weapons and the other Lethal Weapons.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now, where do you land on Superman? His Superman.
He did Superman, and then he did Superman. He was halfway through Superman 2, so there's a Superman 2, the Richard Donner cut, that came out years later. But the film that was in the theaters was not his film. So
what? Was that like some Zack Snyder stuff?
It's a really interesting story about how he got like... how the studio got involved and pushed him out and then got somebody else who was much more wacky to do Superman 2. And then years later, he came back and like did it the way that he, cause they'd mostly filmed it. And then, wound up like just editing it differently and stuff. If you're interested in learning more about the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2, Mr. Sunday Movies is a great video. I think it's like a half hour on like what happened. So,
I just want to comment. I know that, listen, you had some kind of like light and easy, fun and fancy week. But while you were out there like living the good life, I was in my office and I was really struggling. And I had a really tough week. And the reason why is because I got in a legit, like not like funny, I got in like a serious fight with Disney.
Oh my gosh.
And Drew and I both agreed at the end of the whole – I mean this problem played out over 3 days. Frankly, it's going to play out for the rest of my career for as long as I book movies with Disney because of some of the things that I said. But what we agreed is – like, and I'm talking about Disney, but you know, I'll just say most of the studios, like they find a way to take the joy out of like – they find a way to make you as – I mean, I think the movie exhibitors are an important part of the process, and I would say that a movie director is an important part of the process. I'm not trying to say that we're by any stretch. That came out almost like we were the same, but I'm well aware that we're not. But what we have in common is that the studios are really good at making us feel totally unimportant and insignificant. And they make us feel irrelevant, and in so doing, they find a way to take the joy out of movie going. And it was an incredibly depressing experience for me. And you know, it was one of those things. It was like it's like that song from the 60s, "I Fought the Law and the Law Won." Like, you know, there's just no talking to any of these studios. They're big, gigantic monsters, and they don't care. Ooh. It's brutal. And so it's tough that we're sitting here reflecting on a person's career and an incredible legacy of great movies. And, you know, we've got this movie that he may or may not have – the director of the movie may or may not have had, you know, final say in this. Yeah. That's a shame.
And it still happens. I was watching a retrospective on Iron Man 2 and – how some of the parts of that like seem kind of, it's a great movie, but parts of it feel kind of shoved in, and especially like the Avengers stuff that they shove in there, and how John Favreau, if I'm saying that right, he had a tough time with the studio. Like, you know, he was professional about it, but in the end he was like, you know, he didn't want to do any more because of that.
Yeah. The studio system is brutal. Yeah. All right. What do you got for us about on WandaVision?
Okay, listen, WandaVision, it was over and done, right? And we've been loving Loki.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, totally.
How do you feel about, you know, there's an end credits scene in WandaVision.
Yes.
Right? How do you feel about things happening in the MCU, like in Loki, that change things?
David, Could you try to concentrate for just a moment?
He just
We're trying
did.
To do a show here.
Remember the
We're
joke?
We're trying to do a program, a professional program.
He's holding up
People
a paper that
People have taken
says...
time out of their days, their busy days, their limited minutes. They only have but moments on this planet. And, you know, if you could just find it within yourself to, you know.
He's holding up a piece of paper that says Juan Division.
It's so good. It's so good. I was out with some friends, and we were talking about watching TV and stuff, and my buddy admitted that everybody was telling him he's got to watch this show, WandaVision, and he like was Googling it or looking for it and couldn't find it because he was looking for a show called Juan, like maybe the Spanish name, J-U-A-N,
yeah.
Last name Division, like multiplication, division, subtraction. So he's looking for this show, Juan Division, and he can't find it anywhere. He don't know what people are talking about. He finally gives up, you know.
That's hilarious. All right.
Yeah.
Juan Division.
Please, so can we just get back on track, David?
Yeah, seriously. This is a serious podcast about serious things, about intense properties.
Right.
Apparently, Disney has changed the end credits scene to WandaVision. They've updated it.
Hmm.
And now there's like, in it, you pan over the forest before you get to a cabin. Mm-hmm. And there's like a blur floating, kind of looks like a person maybe. And so the big speculation is, I don't know why they would change it twice, that the stuff happening in Loki is they're going back in post and editing changes into some of these shows. Like they're thinking that there's going to be one more edit, and maybe it wasn't because of Loki, maybe it's because of the filming of Doctor Strange, whether that's going to be Doctor Strange floating through her house.
I have a theory.
Mm. Mm.
I don't know how to articulate it.
A hypothesis?
A hypothesis.
Sis.
So.
You should get your sis's tape checked by a doctor.
DHSSS. All right. So, listen, here's my theory, but bear with me because I don't really. I'm going to say it out loud while I'm thinking it through.
Okay.
Loki.
Uh-huh.
Is all about the timeline and changes in the timeline.
Yeah.
Is it possible that things that have happened in the world have changed the timeline and affected the production of WandaVision to change differently?
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
Yeah. Right? I mean, maybe this was planned all along, or maybe our reality is being changed by the current events. Like, what do they call it when there's like a branch on the timeline?
Yeah.
Maybe there's like a branch that's landing in like the post-production lab.
Oh my gosh.
And, right? This is pretty intense. Somebody ought to alert the authorities.
They got some variants they need to prune.
Yeah.
Jeez.
How great is Loki?
Loki is insanely good.
I was at a cookout this weekend. And one of my dear friends, who I love, a friend of me and the Mystery Gobble.
Okay.
It was not him, but it was another guy. Mm-hmm. He doesn't listen to the show. But I hang out with him anyway. I don't know why.
It's good to do public service like that.
I do. I like to help the little people. Like Kramer on Seinfeld when he goes, sometimes I like to help the humor. So my boy walks up to me and he goes, so we're talking and there's like a little lull in the conversation. And he goes, so Penn, how's Loki doing? And I said, What do you mean? I guess it's doing fine. It's great. Have you been enjoying it? And he goes, no. I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, I mean, you know, you getting a lot of business? Like, are people coming out for it? And I was like, well, I mean, it's a TV show. Nobody's coming out for it. My boy does not have Disney Plus, and as such was completely confused. He saw it. You know, the promotional stuff wherever he saw it and thought it was a movie.
Mm.
And he was most distraught because he had plans to go see it at Penn Cinema.
Oh, my word.
The only thing it would have been better, and he would never do this because he's not this kind of person, but it would have been great if I, like, caught him in a lie. Like, if he was like, I got my tickets to see Loki next week. Can't wait. And I would be like, oh, what night did you get your tickets?
I'll see
Were
you
they
then.
Expensive?
I'll be, right. I'll be waiting for you.
Right, right. Oh, I work that night. I'll see you in the lobby.
Yeah.
All right, David, listen. As much as, you know, this show gets pretty intense sometimes.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about how we could address that. And so, as such, from my own mind...
From your mind to my mind.
Thank you. I bring you a actual joke.
Ooh.
Okay?
Ooh.
This is direct from my mind. Right?
Okay.
What did the young Jedi... Wait, what are you doing? David just left.
Uh-huh.
He threw off his headphones and stormed out.
Okay. Yeah.
What did you do?
No, nothing.
You ready?
No,
okay.
No, absolutely. No.
Hey, put your hands. I wanted your hands where I could see them there,
what
tough
are you,
guy.
What are you? I mean, not me.
Ah. Okay. All right. Listen, from my mind.
Uh-huh.
All right. Every time I think of the joke, it makes me laugh. All right, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, it's so good.
Hold on, I'm not ready. Okay. All right.
All right. What did the young Jedi say to the Asgardian Avengers?
I don't know what.
May the Thorth be with you.
So dumb.
That podcast is filling your head with garbage. You should be in school.
Do you think it would be funnier if she said, what did the young Jedi say to the Avengers? I think that would have been funnier.
Or Odin. Or
Yeah. And then do you think it's funnier if you say, may the Thorth be with you, or the Thors? I think it's the Thors.
The Thors?
Yeah. May the Thors be with you. All right. I'm going to try that one out on the girls later.
Okay. See how they react. Because I bet you it's going to be a lot of groaning.
Right. Because we're workshopping it here live on the podcast. Yeah.
People don't realize what they're in here for, and it's intense. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Who's Ron Perlman? Is he the guy from Hellboy or something like that?
How did you not know who Ron Perlman is?
No, I do. I know. I do.
He's a big, tall guy. He's got a deep voice.
Ugly as sin, but somehow good looking at the exact same time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Big, giant mouth.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. Ron Perlman's going to voice Optimus Primal in the Beast Wars movie. That's not Optimus Prime.
No.
Optimus Prime is still being voiced by Peter Weller.
Right. Everybody knows that.
Right. Well, yeah, everybody knows that. But Optimus Primal is the guy who looks like Optimus Prime that turns into an ape.
This is going to be so confusing.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, but at least it's not both Peter Weller voiced characters.
Okay.
So, look, I got some big news.
Yes.
Actually, this is big news. You're going to be like, what? But
right.
I think some of our listeners, maybe even Frodo... I'm hoping Frodo. Evangelion Neon Genesis 3.0 plus 1.0 Thrice Upon a Time is finally coming to the West. Now, Evangelion Neon Genesis is an amazing series that everyone who enjoys anime should watch. Even if you don't enjoy anime, should watch it. It's absolutely amazing. They retold the series in four films. The fourth film came out to amazing results in Japan. And usually we have to wait years for it to come out. And it's already being not only brought to the West this year, it'll be brought to the West dubbed. So it's definitely coming to Amazon. And I'm hoping it gets a theatrical release. Now, I saw the second one at Comic-Con. They screened it there. And that was quite the experience. So I would love to see this on the big screen. So hopefully it's going to get the theatrical release as well.
Fingers crossed. Jason Blum, on the other hand, has confirmed that his upcoming Exorcist movie will be are you ready for this?
Oh.
A sequel ignoring follow-up to the original film. What do you think that phrase means? Does that mean it's basically a freestanding movie?
Yeah, it's kind of like... Is it, what is it? Halloween H2O or Halloween, whichever the there's one Halloween movie that had nothing to do with the other ones. Okay. And that was kind of like, oh, it's just a Jason Voorhees story, but it doesn't have to do with anything connected. And I think that, like, reading this was hard for me because I kept saying sequel ignoring follow-up, but it's actually one phrase, a sequel ignoring follow-up.
Yeah.
It's a weird saying. So, I don't care.
So, yeah, I was literally just going to say, so what?
So, yeah.
We're both sitting here shrugging our shoulders going, okay, well, that was a headline.
Yeah, if you would have told me that before, I would have said, I didn't realize that's not how it was going to be.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Walk us through Lupin. Is it Lupin or Lupin?
Lupin the Third, the Castle of Cagliostro, is getting a theatrical run to celebrate the 4K remaster. This is a Hayao Miyazaki film, highly praised, absolutely stunningly beautiful. I have never seen it. I am really hoping that, G4 Kids or whatever they call it gets it wide enough release. It's definitely getting released in some of the big cities. But they're talking about announcing a wider release soon. I would love to see this big screen, have my first experience. Ghibli films that we've talked about before, absolutely fantastic and beloved by many. None more than Penn Ketchum.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
speaking of things that I love, Vin Diesel.
Vroom, vroom.
Vroom, vroom. He's got that new Fast 9 movie out this weekend, the number one movie.
Yeah.
Second week in a row. I had customers come up to the counter and ask for tickets to the new Van Damme movie. So I sold them tickets to Boss Baby and sent them on their way.
Chill.
Now, what is this? Are we saying Vin Diesel is convinced it's only a matter of time until the Thorth Riddick film?
You found it.
What is this?
So you know the Chronicles of Riddick? Do you know this
movies?
Yeah.
Right.
So I believe...
Because I saw this headline somewhere else, and there was reference to a fourth John Wick movie.
Oh, the fourth John Wick movie is being filmed. We've talked about that before.
Right.
Yeah. But
this is a totally different thing.
Totally different thing. So the Riddick movies, Vin Diesel, I think, owns the rights or something, like that. And he just made an announcement that it's... only a matter of time until they get the script off the ground and make this movie. I don't know anyone who likes any of the Riddick stuff other than the first movie.
Listen, I'm just going to tell you something, and I'm going to share it with our listeners, but I don't want everybody yapping around town. I don't want to see you like at Do-Si-Do or like at the local Starbucks, like passing this around, like the hot gossip. Yeah. I've never seen any of those movies.
The first one was good at the time, and I think I remember rewatching it and being like, eh.
Yeah. I never saw them. It didn't really turn me on. I didn't really have any interest. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
So I think it's kind of crazy to think that, he's super convinced it's happening. I'm kind of like, is it though?
Yeah.
But.
Well, this is the second story in a row where I'm kind of like, whatever, who cares?
Yeah.
So rounding out articles where we're kind of shrugging, this little headline at the end is, I mean, I guess it's good news or like whatever, but I'm kind of like shrugging. Like, I feel like this is a headline because some public relations person successfully did their job and got this out into the world as a piece of news.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal.
Right. Paddington 3 is coming out in October. No, 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 no.
No.
Just finished production. No, 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 no. Just started filming? No, 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 no. Paddington 3 will start filming in the beginning of 2022.
How do you come across such groundbreaking news?
Well, David, I never reveal my sources.
You know
but
what?
I'll just say it involves a sauna, and we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I see it actually in the back. I can see the door of the sauna is open behind it.
Yeah,
and it's inside a sauna. Is one of those domes with a little ticker. Going through with like a string. He's just getting the news straight off the ticker.
It involves a sauna and an ice cream cart, and that's all I'm going to say about it. All right. Thankfully, we've come to the end of our news section.
Yeah.
And I think the highlight of the news section was the Jedi joke.
I mean, it definitely brought things to a different level.
Right.
Up or
right.
down, we won't really know.
Right, right.
All right.
Okay, we have a variety of, we have seven trailers, and I don't want to get into every single one of them. Eight, if you count, we have eight trailers because Jungle Cruise has two trailers.
Yeah.
For me, the trailer of the week is Easy.
But,
yeah, but we'll let you walk us through this. You want to get started on trailers?
First one we have is Clifford the Big Red Dog. This looks like a fun family flick. It doesn't even look all that cheesy. It looks like Clifford, honestly. I mean, what'd you expect?
Right.
This looks just like you would expect from Clifford. I think it's going to be a good kids movie. I adored Clifford as a kid. I was all about it. So more power to him. I don't think that either you or I need to view this movie. But, you know, what else?
This is going to be a seriously G-rated movie.
Yeah.
This, you know, this is like really for little kids.
Oh, I thought it was for the G's.
Right.
Homies.
But I tell you, I had an odd feeling while I was watching this movie. You know how sometimes people get like pinkies out and they get uppity because the movie doesn't follow the source material?
Yeah.
Right. That's how I felt.
About watching,
this. Yeah. Like, just so now we all understand who we're dealing with. My source material is the Clifford the Big Red Dog books. That's my level. That's the level at which I get fired up about content matching source material. Because Clifford the Big Red Dog did not wake up one morning gigantic.
Yeah.
He grew, and then they had to move to a bigger place, and then he grew, and they had to move to a bigger place, and then he grew, and they had to move to the farm. Like I had a lot of problems. I had a lot of problems with Penn with this. And I don't know. The movie is going to be great, and it's going to be great for little kids, but I was turned off by this trailer.
Ironically, that's the highest reading level you got too, right?
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. I can understand that, because I was like, I don't dig the origin story here, but I was like, the rest of it looks fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they ever make a movie about Goodnight Moon, I'm going to have issues with that as well.
Oh, but what if they make a movie about Goodnight Dune, which is a real thing that's been written?
All right. Hotel Transylvania, Transformania, trailer number 2. This movie comes out October 1st. Did we think this movie was coming out this summer?
I don't know what we thought. I don't remember. I don't know if there was a date on it last time.
Encyclopedia Brown informed me that the movie was pushed to October 1st, which I then independently verified is true. But I was not now that I think about it, it absolutely was scheduled to come out like in August, I think early August or late July. And I don't really have a problem that they pushed it to October 1st, just because we've had so much good kids content, really successful, popular kids movies. And I think having a good kids movie in early October is going to serve everybody well, especially with, like, you know, the characters from Hotel Transylvania gets you right into right into the spirit of Halloween.
Right.
So I thought this trailer was, again, excellent. I think this movie looks like fun.
I really like this trailer.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit. It was a little bit more than the last one, but not too much.
Yeah,
I like the jokes. They landed pretty good.
Yep,
I'm down. I kind of want to see it.
Then there was a movie called Lamb, not the 2015 movie.
Right, I made the note there so you didn't watch the trailer for the 2015 movie.
Oh, I thought that was the name of the movie.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's confusing, right?
Right.
Did you get the gist of what this movie is about at all from the trailer?
No, I have no idea. Unless it's like some kind of, I have no idea. Is it a horror movie? Is it Mary Had a Little Lamb?
There was an emphasis on the lambs.
Right.
And there was an emphasis on the family wanting a baby and having a
right.
baby.
Right, right.
From the synopsis, they have some sort of lamb-human hybrid baby.
Oh. His fleece was white as snow.
Yeah, it's the origin of Lamb Chop.
All right, that was pretty good.
Yeah,
it wasn't great, but it was pretty good.
All right, so
I didn't fall out of my chair, but I giggled, I chuckled.
Next, we have a movie, and this rarely happens, where I didn't even finish the trailer.
Oh, I did.
Calm Like a Bomb.
Oh, I thought you were still talking about Lamb.
Oh no, Lamb was
no.
Was,
Calm Like a Bomb, I did not finish the trailer either.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it's about. It looks stupid. I'm not interested. It did nothing to raise my interest.
The audio was horrible.
Yeah, Calm Like a Bomb. The only good thing about it is they had some kind of title treatment that just had the first letters from each of the words. So it said CLAB, and I thought that was kind of clever, but not clever enough to make me watch the trailer.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't win them all.
No, you can't. Did we do Pig?
No, we missed it.
What do you mean we missed it?
It was suggested. It was actually sent to me, and I forgot to put it on the list.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, did you watch it in the 10 seconds before? You did. Yeah, yeah.
I saw it last week. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So this trailer is the new Nicolas Cage movie. Wow. Like, is it a... It's not a horror movie. Is it a drama? Is it artsy? Is it an indie? What? I don't know what to make of this movie. It opens on July 16th from Neon, and the same day as Space Jam. I'm probably going to play it, even though literally just this morning I told Drew, hey, next time I tell you that a movie looks interesting and we should play it, like, for example, Summer of Soul or Zola, will you just slap me in the face and remind me not to do that? Both of those movies were a complete waste of space for me this weekend. But Pig, this movie looks really well made. The acting looks amazing. Like, it looks devastating. Like, it might be too...
Someone stole his pig or something? Right?
Yeah, but, right. But he had, like, a special bond with the pig, but it's not, like, Babe or Charlotte's Web or something like that. I don't know. Is this, like, a vegan anthem or, you know, I don't know what it is, but... This I want to see more of this movie.
It looks really interesting. I want to know more as well.
Yeah. I think Nick Cage is the perfect character for it, perfect actor for it.
He's definitely a surprise actor for it.
Yeah.
So The Kingsman had a new trailer. And by new, I mean it was mostly clips from the older movies. They call it the Legacy trailer, basically showing how they're like, if you were confused by the other trailers for The Kingsman and you didn't get that this is a prequel, this makes it obvious that this is a prequel. To the point where it's not just a trailer, it also has, like, the director comes out and he's like, hey, this one takes place before in World War I. And you're like,
Right. It all adds up now. That checks out.
Yeah. It's not horrible by any means.
No, I mean, I was on board with this movie from the get-go. I guess they felt like they needed to. So I think the pressure is really on them because this is the Christmas slot. I mean, this is the Star Wars slot. It opens December 22nd. And maybe they're just really, like, really trying to cover their bases to make sure everybody knows, like, it might take place in World War I, but this is still a Kingsman movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I the trailer was kind of dumb. I don't like it. Reminded me of, you know, when, like, on a sitcom when they don't have, like, material to do a whole show, so they do, like, all the flashbacks.
I'm familiar with the Penn Center podcast.
We've never done that, but I would love to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like that would be a lot of work for you.
Oh my God, it would be so much work. Yeah. Well, what's our last one here?
Well, the last, we saved the best for last. Yeah. The last is a pair of trailers, dueling trailers for Jungle Cruise. One trailer introduced and emphasizes Emily Blunt, and one introduces and emphasizes Dave Gobson.
Dave Gobson.
Meaning Dwayne Johnson. And it's really, like, I thought these were really well done. I don't know how you felt. I literally laughed out loud at Emily Blunt's. I thought hers was better. Her trailer is trailer of the week for me.
I would say combined their trailer of the week for me.
Okay.
I really liked that they showed new content, but not too much content.
Right.
And it really did emphasize the characters. I felt like hers was a little bit weaker, only because she is the main character, and thus we have seen a lot more of her in the trailer already. Mm-hmm. But I also think it did do a good job of just focusing on her at the same time. Mm-hmm.
So her introduction of the trailer was comedy gold.
Yeah.
Dwayne Johnson's introduction of his trailer was, you know, kind of predictable and, you know, it didn't look as natural.
Yeah.
It didn't look as, it wasn't as funny. The scene where she's doing all that physical comedy, getting in a fight in the library there, that reminded me of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One thing I'm noticing about these trailers is that they have a theme. They have theme music that they're really trying to push into your brain.
And
for me, it hasn't quite clicked yet. But I think after the movie, it'll like once I have something to reference the music to, like to remember by it.
Right.
It'll click.
Right.
So those are the trailers of the weeks, man.
All right. Yeah. Dig it.
So this week, Penn is going to tell us all about the movie Summer of Soul, because I did not see it. I had a pretty lazy week with nothing going on, so actually quite the opposite, including 3 days without power. So, you know, fun times in my world, but I did not get a chance to see Summer of Soul. What did you think of this movie?
All right.
What is it about?
This is a documentary.
Okay.
And it's really, really good. Now, I've seen documentaries at our theater before, and I've gone out in the world and told people, like, oh, you got to see this. You know, I did not really have that reaction. The movie was good. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. I was... like, it held my interest. I was fascinated. For me, which was really like a personal thing, it took place. So the premise is there's a concert series in Harlem in a park in 1969, which coincidentally is the same summer that Woodstock happened up in upstate New York, in Woodstock, New York. And this concert series really happened at a time that, you know, would prove to sort of be a turning point in Black American culture. And it was really, really interesting to hear a lot of... So what I was saying is, for me, the footage that it showed of New York City in 1969... Now, I wasn't alive in 1969, but I almost was. And the city that it showed in the documentary, I could relate to. Like, the city in that documentary was more the city that I grew up in than the city is now. Like, if you did a documentary of something that happened this summer in New York City, that's not the Brooklyn that I grew up in. I grew up in a Brooklyn that was much more like the 1969 version. And it was really neat for me to see that, because I could relate to that. I could feel it and I could smell it and I understood what we were talking about. The thing that was fascinating about this documentary is so many important people that I would know, like, for example, later, like Stevie Wonder. Like, I had no idea what Stevie Wonder was doing in 1969. I had no idea what Jesse Jackson was doing in 1969. I knew Mavis Staples' music, but I had no context. Sheila E., Gladys Knight and the Pips, like all these people, B.B. King played. And I thought the director, who Questlove, who most of us know from The Tonight Show, I thought he did a great job, just almost perfect job of sort of alternating between concert footage and present day interviews, also pulling up archival interviews from 1969 to give some perspective. So I thought it was fascinating. It was really well done. Here's what I'll say about it. And this is sort of where my hesitation comes. You know, I always try to be honest about, you know, oh, you got to see this movie in a theater. I feel like you could enjoy this movie at home every bit as much as I enjoyed it in the movie theater. Mm-hmm. The sound, the musical segments were not dramatically like moving. And part of that is because it's really wild that this concert was filmed in 1969, and then it was put away, and it literally never saw the light of day until now. It says at the beginning of this movie, concert was filmed and put in a basement and not uncovered until 2017, which that in and of itself says a whole lot about about the world in 1969, because Woodstock, of course, you know, everybody and their brother knows, you know, the story of Woodstock, but there were 300,000 people that attended these concerts in the summer of 1969. So, you know, it's really a powerful, powerful story. They interviewed guys and men and women like today who were there, like either as kids or as teenagers, you know, talking to this one lady who's like, oh, I snuck out of my house, told my mom we were going to the library, like that type of thing. And it was really neat. It was incredibly entertaining, incredibly educational for me. It gave me a lot of context and perspective that I was not previously hip to, even though I would have thought of myself as knowing some of these things, but I didn't. And here's where I land on this. If you're so inclined, come to the theater. It's going to be here until July 15th. And if you're not inclined, then watch it at home. But I do recommend watching it at home. It's really good. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Now, I do feel like I need to say something before everyone writes in. Because you said most of us would know Questlove from The Tonight Show.
Oh,
the fact that you didn't say The Roots.
Oh, yeah.
With the big band that he's famously known for, that's right, a part of The Tonight Show. I mean.
All right, but I feel like you're nitpicking.
I am. I just wanted to give you.
Have you ever seen The Roots?
Live?
Yeah.
No.
No, me neither. I wonder if they play out. Like, that would be so cool. I wonder if they play anywhere other than The Tonight Show.
I mean, they're, probably not. They're a Philly band, aren't they?
So
they
yeah, they're all Philly boys. Yeah. Yeah. You know, that was one thing that I thought was kind of a classy move on Questlove's part. He did the opposite of Elizabeth Banks.
Oh.
Like, his name flashed across the screen, I think, once. But, and like, you would not – he was not interviewed. He did not – there were a couple times where he was narrating and you could hear his – not narrating. He was interviewing people. Like in present day, interviewing them about the festival, and you could hear his voice. Wow. But like, he was very modest. He was, if you didn't know that he did the movie, you wouldn't know that he did the movie.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's the anti Elizabeth Banks.
Very cool. All right. Well, there you got it.
There you have it. Yeah. And yeah. It did not do well commercially, which was really surprising. Mm. We're playing it in Lititz and Wilmington, and frankly, it didn't do well anywhere in the country.
Wow. Well, moving on to listener notes, questions, answers, sometimes stories. We had the Shadow right in here, and he had some interesting stuff to say, and he said his 15-year-old mini Shadow, right, wanted to see A Quiet Place 2. And they could have gone to the movie theater 5 minutes away. But mini Shadow was like, you know what? I want to see this at Penn Cinema. Let's try 40 minutes to see this movie where it deserves to be seen.
Amen.
Right? And people are like, who knows about parenting? And I'm like, let me tell you.
The Shadow knows.
He knows about parenting.
Yeah. All together now. Yeah, I mean, that's just good parenting right there. Yeah. I mean, that's 101.
Yeah. Straight
that's
up.
That's the first page of the parenting book, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was pretty cool. So thanks for letting us know that.
I have a follow-up question, though, for the Shadow. Yeah. I don't mean to be ungrateful.
Yeah.
But, I mean, does the mini Shadow does the mini Shadow listen to the podcast?
Snap, crackle, and pop. I mean, I might go as far to say is, what's the point of a big fancy degree if your children don't listen to the Penn Cinema podcast? Right. Yeah. Yeah.
All that book learning. Let's get your priorities straight there. Yeah.
Come on now.
All right. Most important thing is going to the theater. Second most important thing is listening to the podcast. So yeah. We'll give them props there. That's just good parenting. Congratulations. Now, it's been a pretty intense competition this year because Mr. Schaefer has racked up a ton of Father of the Year points.
Oh, snap.
And on account of having
a father for a little bit.
Well, I'm just saying you get bonus points for the first, you know,
for the
surviving
first year,
the
yeah.
first month.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You get bonus points just for the birth of your child.
Whoa.
So, but I mean, the Shadow is giving him a run for his money.
That's true. Yeah.
With news like this.
Watch out, Drusif. That's his full name, right?
Yes. Yeah. Not a lot of people know that.
Drusif.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly what. Yeah.
Yeah. He will not listen to this, so I can go with that. So, all right. Well, that's about all that we got in this week, I think, for listener feedback. Of course, if you want to talk to us, email us at podcast@pensinema.com or hit us up on Facebook. So what have you been doing this week, Penn? What has been going on outside of the movie theater for you? Yeah.
Well, I've been enjoying Loki.
Okay.
And I know, you know, whatever, but I've also been enjoying the Tour de France. I know we don't really get into sports shows, you know, a lot on this show.
Didn't the lady, like, knock a bunch of people over?
Was that,
Yeah. She's holding a sign, and they hit him, and, like, 30 guys are on the ground. And then she apparently fled the scene.
Right.
Yeah, she, I mean, come on.
She's no dummy.
They're suing her for, like, big money or something, too.
They should be. I mean, she committed the cardinal sin. I mean, if anybody knows anything, like one of the things that's really interesting about the tour, I mean, to me, it's absolutely fascinating. Like I could watch it on hours on end. But one of the things like that's just casually interesting about it is how close the fans get to the athletes. I mean, they can literally touch them and scream and you know, they're especially like on the climbs when when the bike is moving really slowly, or I should say relatively slower, and you see these bikes, they go through these crowded streets. But the etiquette is you never turn your back on the race. And that's how they typically avoid. That's why there aren't like accidents every single day. I mean, there are, but not caused by fans. And that's, you know, that's how fans successfully interact so closely with the bikes is that they typically don't turn their backs. Or if they do, sometimes you see like an idiot running alongside, like being a goofball. He's in like a Borat costume or something. But he's like, you know, aside, he's off to the side a little bit from the athletes. So, but this lady had her back turned, you know, and she was trying to get, she was holding a big cardboard sign, trying to get it on TV. And cause the TV crew, you know, went by and she turned around and tried to show it to the camera. And yeah, she whacked this guy right off his bike. And I mean, it was a crowded, the Peloton was right there and it was ugly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not funny. I shouldn't laugh, but it was awful. They all crashed.
Some of those guys got really hurt.
Like, yeah, it's like been legit. A tough year for the tour. There was a lot of injuries, a lot of crashes this year so far. But it's I think it's the most brutal sport out there because, you know, any single day of the Tour de France is insane, and they have like 28 days in a row of it.
Jeez. So when are you going to do it?
I'm working on it any minute now. I'm just waiting on the call.
Could be today. Could be tomorrow. You never know. Right.
That's why I train, you know, so I'm ready when the coach needs me and they, you know, they want me, I'm on the next flight to Gay Paris.
Well, you know, when they say that you should train, they don't mean ride a train, right?
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. You've been doing it wrong all along, buddy.
this could be awkward.
Strasburg Railroad is not what he was referring to. Yeah.
All right. So what have you been up to there? Living the life of Riley over there in
your
fancy castle.
Yeah, so things happened this week, but I got in Loki pretty late. It's kind of funny. When I watch it when it comes out, the day of, I can go the rest of the week and not see like all but one or two articles about it, and they're never spoilery.
Right.
But the one time where a circumstance has is I can't watch it for 3 days. Right. I'm just rolling through my Facebook feed, and not only is there like spoilers in the titles, there's just straight up like the pictures for the articles are just like whatever they're talking about, the spoiler.
Right.
And I'm like, what? Why? It's only been 2 days. Like, what is going on? So,
I get it.
But Loki's been great. And I think Loki might be the first of the three that's been out so far that when it's done, I'm going to like go right back and rewatch it.
I was just thinking earlier when we were talking about WandaVision, I want to go back and start. I want to rewatch that. I want to rewatch Captain America and the Winter Soldier, or Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And
yeah.
I'm just so impressed with this content, and I'm so mad at Disney. I just hate how much I love this stuff.
Keeps you hooked up, right?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, I guess if I was a, you know, man of principle, I'd stop watching it.
Good thing you're not.
Who am I hurting then? You know what I mean?
Only yourself, right?
I'm saying.
I also did something crazy.
Talk to me. Oh boy.
And I watched F9 again.
Oh.
And I liked it more the second time than I did the first time.
Interesting.
I watched it with a bunch of people who hadn't seen any of the Fast and Furious movies, except for maybe Tokyo Drift.
Okay.
And so we had dinner beforehand, and I sat down and summarized all the movies in a very comical way, emphasizing.
Right.
And I said, before I tell you about these movies, if you have any questions about why, just remember that all these characters have a history in illegal street racing. And that should be all you need to know.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah. So right. It was like an ongoing joke that we had. So I had a good time. And I don't know if you saw that Vin Diesel's been like a big meme thing today, where he's been inserted in everything. And, like, it's all about family, and family can never stop me. It's been really funny. So, but there's another thing I did this week.
Yes.
Hey, let me tell you about the suitcase.
Talk to me, Goose.
Right here. You see the suitcase?
Ooh.
I got a suitcase.
Look at that.
I know. You're like, where are you going? What's up? What's the town? I'm going to tell you this. Nothing pen, because it's a record player.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. How about them apples and potato chips? You know? I was at the store, right? and there's...
Good night. I'm out. Thank you.
Yeah.
You've been great. How about them apples and potato chips?
Potato chips. That's the new saying. And if you don't say that, people won't understand what you're trying to say.
What the kids say, like, all that in a bag of chips?
Yeah. And they were and meant, then, all that was the apple.
Some people say all that in a bag of chips. And some people say, how about them apples? But not my man.
And
not my guy. My guy, David Moulton, he takes it to the next level. He puts it all together. He's not sad. He's not going to just parrot some crap that other people have been saying for years. He's going to make his own mark in this world and come out with, how about them apples and potato chips?
It's the long, how about them apples and potato chips?
And potato chips.
The long pause.
Right. When you say it, I picture apples like pre-sliced, like in a little Ziploc.
Yeah. In a bag, a small bag of potato chips, like a handy bag.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was at the store, and there's this album that I listen to all the time online.
Right.
Right. And
you were telling us that you wanted to get it vinyl. You wanted to get vinyl.
I never said that ever in my hunt, ever.
You said it on the show last week or the week before.
Get out of town. You're getting into vinyl.
Who's our guy that listened? Remember,
where's Don? Don.
No, somebody like years ago, like 2 years ago, who listened to every single episode because he wanted to win 4 tickets.
Oh, Roland.
Roland.
Yeah. Roland, go back and tell us what's up. Like, check the spreadsheet.
Definitely, Roland.
Yeah.
Prove me right.
Yeah.
David mentioned a week or two ago that he wanted to get vinyl.
Well,
for his.
Look. All right, this is going to be funny, because I saw this thing that I thought I listen to on YouTube all the time. It's these remixes, and I thought they're going to get copyrighted and like, I'll never hear this again. And then I'm in the store, and they pressed a vinyl of it, and I'm like, well, I gotta pick this up, I guess.
Nice.
And I'm like, but what's next? Does this make me that guy?
Yeah.
The vinyl guy.
Yeah.
So I guess I gotta get a record player.
Yeah.
So then I ordered a record player, right? And then of course. You know, I ordered some records, you know, some Guster. Of course, I got Boston because you got to get Boston.
Yeah, you
and,
know, Jimmy.
And a couple others. And it's funny because you ever have like what I like to call a flash pan like fad that you're into? Like, you know what I'm talking about?
I do. I don't think it's flash pan, but yeah, I know
whatever.
What you mean.
Flash bang, whatever.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
Bing, bang, boom. Bingo, bango, bongo.
Yeah, and a bag of potatoes.
Mambo number 5. Hello. Right.
So I ordered all these things. A day goes by. They're on their way. And then I'm like, you got to flip the record? No, I'm done. I'm good. I'm out. Like, this is as far as I'm going. I dipped my toes in. I'm satisfied.
So are you telling us that you, when you were a kid, you're too old, you didn't have, you, like, I'm not even trying to be funny here. I'm saying that when you were a kid, you didn't have records?
Oh, we had records. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, it was
because I totally had records. But... like I had, like, all my music was on records, before we knew what cassettes were.
By the time I was doing music, it was definitely cassette, and then later, eventually CDs. But my mother had a big, well, not big, but she had a record collection.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was my crazy story for this week. There you go.
I like the fact that it's not a regular record player; it's a suitcase.
Yeah, because.
It makes you feel like a spy.
Well, no, I preemptively knew me, and I was like, I should get a fancy one for my, like, for my shelf. And then I thought, you might not use it that much. If it's in a suitcase, it can go under the bed, and it'll be fine. You know? I was talking to my buddy, and I was like, am I that guy? Am I a record guy now? Yeah. And he's like, David, you started by picking out a Zelda record. Like, right. It's a video game record. You're not that guy. So,
what's the name of that instrument that's right behind you that you built?
The hurdy-gurdy.
The hurdy-gurdy. Yeah. I mean, you're turning into quite the musician.
I'm basically Johann Sebastian Bach.
Yeah.
Vivaldi.
You know what you need? You need a flute.
A pan flute.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, that would suit you.
Because then I could be like, "Hey, ladies."
What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong with our movie next week, Penn? What are we watching?
Oh, boy. We're watching Black Widow. It's fine. Like, I can't believe we're saying that. Like this is the movie that got moved and got moved and got moved again. And here we are, July 9th. It opens July 8th at 5 p.m. in IMAX and regular. It's playing in Penn Cinema Huntington Valley, playing at Penn Cinema Wilmington, playing in Penn Cinema Lititz. I mean, it's playing all the Penn Cinemas. It all opens at 5 o'clock with a shit ton of showtimes.
Well, you told me if this one makes more money than Fast and Furious in its first week, you'd eat your shorts, right?
No, I said the opposite.
Oh.
I said if it does not make more money than the Fast and Furious. I think this movie is the first post-pandemic movie to go $100 million. That's what I said.
You know, Penn, I think to be safe, you should just agree that you're going to eat your shorts either way.
Okay. Roger that. Roland, when you're tracking on Dave's vinyl history.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Find us the $100 million comment, because I've been saying it. I could be wrong, but I feel good about this. This movie is – the pre-sales are through the roof, and everybody's pretty excited about it. I can't wait to see it.
Nice. Cool. All right. So Black Widow next week. Look, if you want to tell us what you thought of Black Widow or Loki or Summer of Soul or anything that you've got going on that you think we might want to know about, you can go ahead in and write us at podcast@penncinema.com. That is the number one way to get in touch with us. Number two, hit us up on Facebook. Now, Penn, if someone wants to support the show, how can they do that?
I have no idea.
What? You don't have any idea?
The best way to support the show is to tell a friend.
Okay.
But there's also been some this new thing. Marley was telling me that, like, she was out the other night, what a lot of people are doing is when next time you're, like, out at a bar.
Yeah.
And you know how they have those coasters that, like, you, like, put your drink on?
Right.
What you want to do is you want to get a pen and pick up the coaster and write on it, listen to the Penn Cinema podcast, and then put it down.
Right.
And then what's really fun, what people are doing, is it's a great way to meet people, because you walk up to somebody who's drinking at the bar and they're like, hey, did you find a podcast coaster? And the person's like, what? And it's like a little icebreaker. Now you're meeting people, you're making friends. And then so you make them pick up their drink, and then you look at the coaster, and if it doesn't say podcast, Penn Cinema podcast, then you go ahead and write it on there. Right. It's also a fun way to meet bartenders, because, you know, they might inquire as to why you're writing on their coasters.
Right. I'm like, did you find a Pensimer podcast coaster? And they look, we lock eyes.
Right.
And they look at me like, what's going on? And then I don't break eye contact.
No.
And I pull out the pan flute. that's how you make real friends.
Yeah. That's a deeper level, as right. you're known for. Hey girl. Hey girl.
All right. Well, once again for the Pensimer podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care.
Take care. And
party on.
Party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome. Yeah.